the far reaches of the galaxy.
Oh, what is it?
Steve-O and Teo in the AM brings you Theology Thursday with Pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro. Get your questions in at studio@star88.fm.
Yes, my friend.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hey, guys.
It's Steve-O, Teo. And that's it. All right, sweet. Brian Nixon is away. Jared is away. Steven's at home.
Yeah. Well, to his credit, though, he's got to work late tonight. He's doing renovate. So
wait. I thought you were doing renovate.
No, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah. Theology Thursday. We're excited, though. You know what? We've been prepping for this hour all morning because the Lord knew everyone else was going to bail on us and be lame sauce. So we're pumped, man. We posted this article at facebook.com/star88fm. It's facebook.com/star88fm. And we want to hear from you, your thoughts on it. If you're just joining us this morning, we talked a little bit about Argentina. A year ago, a collective group of artists said, hey,
yeah,
we want to put together an art exhibit in Argentina entitled Barbie, the Plastic Religion. The idea was to take culture and showcase the fact that we've made it very popular to be pretty. Mm-hmm. That's what we care about. That's become our god, beauty. So they said, Let's take Barbie dolls, this plastic representation of our standard of beauty, and make them into iconic religious images. Two of which being the Virgin Mary and Ken as Jesus Christ on the cross, crucified. Yeah. The exhibit wanted to blend, quote, the two biggest icons in the world, Barbie and religion, end quote. Supposed to be put on a year ago, but got canceled due to protests by Roman Catholic groups who phoned in bomb threats. Not joking.
Yeah.
It was a big deal, and there was such a scare that they were like, no way, we're not going to do this. So they didn't a year ago. Fast forward 360 days or whatever, and it's set to open in Buenos Aires this Saturday. According to Marianella, she is one of the artists. She told The Independent, quote, the good thing about this year is that last year we got a lot of threats regarding the destruction of our art, about bombs, threats against our safety. This year, nothing of the sort is happening. We're hoping and praying it stays like that, end quote. They dressed Barbie as 10 patron saints of South American countries. They used 15 Kens to show 15 ways of looking at Christ. Quote, the brother of a very important priest in Argentina, of the most important church in the country, approached us days before the scandal wanting to buy the Our Lady of Luján to give to his brother, end quote. They said it was a beautiful display of love. Then all Christians started going against us, and that's when all turned bad. At first, everyone was supportive. Justifying the decision to make Virgin Barbie, they said, Barbie's a world icon. She has a special type of beauty. Virgins have changed as time went by. In the Renaissance, they were portrayed as more robust and chubby. In the Middle Ages, they were skinnier with long necks. They also note that Barbie and Ken aren't limited to Christianity in the exhibit. They have Hindu deities, pagan mythological figures as well. But we wanted to talk about this, and we posted this on our Facebook page, facebook.com/star88fm. The topic, the divide between art and blasphemy. Now, we both, as, I guess, musicians, if you will, that would be our main form of art, if you will, but
music.
I mean, we love comic books, and then in turn, growing up and slash still, we draw comic characters.
Yeah,
so we love the arts, and so I enjoy talking about it. And today just opened the floodgates because we've already got quite a few comments
on
Facebook
on both sides of the equation.
We've had a few people call in as we were previewing it, so we do already have some comments, but we want to know your thoughts. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Let's go to line one. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hey, what's up? So, I've had some time to marinate on this
topic. Yeah, Hurricane Shane, our actor friend who you called in the 8 o'clock hour. And we
I did because immediately you made a really good point. And you say, you know, it's easy to look in from the outside as how you feel, you know, my interpretation on how I feel about something that I'm looking at. But what about when we take it and make it personal, and then, which is what I should have done to begin with, right? And, you know, holding myself accountable immediately and saying, well, if I was offered a role and it depicted a character that's contrary to my worldview and the person that I am, so this isn't a statement. This is actually going to come in the form of a question. Scripturally, what is my obligation there?
Mm. Well, see,
because I want to take it back to the Word of God, not necessarily like, you know, what I can live with or what I think. Because ultimately what I do understand is that my responsibility is to the Lord. And as a, you know, to disciple for Christ, it's not to man.
Right.
To him. Wow, Martin Scorsese, what is that? I mean, and he's a great director, but in the grand scheme of things, in the context that we're having this conversation,
yeah.
I would say, bro, he's just another brother, or he's got his own, you know what I mean?
Right.
My responsibility and my obligation is to God.
So let's catch up the listener, because Shane, you called in the 8 o'clock hour. You've done work right. in the industry, in Hollywood, if you will.
Sure.
And
yes.
So immediately it was like, dude, super offensive. This is a Ken doll on a cross. And then the conversation went to art in general, and we're talking about cinematography, filmmaking, and our responsibility. And I pose the question to you, what if you were offered a role in a, you know, a giant Scorsese film? This is your art form as an actor, but you would have to portray this lewd, you know, mafia type character.
My first national television show, I played a mob guy that was going to stab Mary McCormick. So there you go.
Well, nobody likes Mary McCormick anyway.
Stop it right now.
He didn't say very nice things, Mateo, about New Mexico. I felt like it was my opportunity to get even.
There you go.
And I don't know that that's a good thing.
I played softball with her, and she was really sweet.
No, she's a nice lady. You are totally kidding.
She's a nice lady.
She's really sweet.
She's a sweetheart, bro. Please do not.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, she's great.
But
okay,
I think,
joking.
Shane, this is the crux of it, because you're like, dude, I want to take it back to Scripture, and that's the purpose of talking about it on the show this morning, because we're talking about art, and there have been so many people calling in already, chiming in about their stance on it. But this is one of those situations where it comes to personal conviction
of
you, because it's like, hey, for this person, because you've got Mark Wahlberg who's saying, dude, when I was in prison, I found Jesus and I'm a Christian. But then you look at his library, if
Pain
you will,
game.
his list of contributions to the
cinema,
the society. And I'm just going to throw Ted 2 out there and say, really, bro? Because I don't know if I
hey,
could.
You know what, though?
I could do
kudos
that movie.
To actors, because here's the thing. We all wear masks. It's just some of us get paid to do it. So kudos.
For real.
Oh,
so that's
great.
Why I put it to you on acting, because I'm not an actor extraordinaire. I haven't had those opportunities. And I, you know, so what do you do in that situation? Because
so that is truly my question, because I'm, you know, immediately I had to just stop my whole day and say, well, wait a minute, what is my responsibility if I'm going to stand up in this community and claim membership and get climb up on the platform and say, hey, you know, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. He died. He was crucified for my sins. You know, by His grace alone, nothing I could ever do, I am forgiven. He rose again. He said He's my living God.
Now check out my movie, Goodfellas.
Immediately, I've got a responsibility, you know, to my community.
Yeah.
You know, and so there lies the quandary for me this morning, and this is a great question, but I wanted to, I'm going to lean on you guys to take it back to Scripture and kind of help me say, well, you know what, to be honest, because this is a great question and one that I've struggled with in the past.
I wish I could say
again,
that I'm
my
about
first
to answer
role
it, but
was a mob guy, you know, and I'm kind of if you know me, I can look like a rough, tough customer, kind of an intimidating guy, and nothing's further from the truth, but but yeah, moving forward, what's my responsibility with the art that I enjoy?
Yeah.
If I was offered a role, like for instance, to, man, I don't even want to open that. I'm not even going to go there. So right. I'm going to leave that alone. So, but yeah. So what is my responsibility to my faith, to my community, to my church, to myself, to God, and as it relates to the art that I choose, to the roles that I accept?
Yeah.
Scripturally. What can you tell me about that?
My opinion would be, yes, that's between you and God.
And that's the purpose, I think, of the show this morning, is to discuss it from that angle. Because when you take a look at these artists in Argentina, man, yeah, they made a Ken doll crucified on a cross, but to them, they are doing it very respectfully. They believe what they are doing is showcasing this divide of what is truly, quote-unquote, religious, because it's about religion in general, not about Jesus Christ, but religious, and said, hey, man, this is kind of our religion as a culture right now. You look at the Ken doll, you look at the Barbie doll, and that's our standard of beauty. This is what we care about. You see someone like Kim Kardashian, who is a leader in the industry of celebrity, mm-hmm, for doing what? Like, what does she accomplish?
Geez.
She seriously is just like a gajillionaire for being pretty? Like, what has she done?
I gotta be honest, I think her breakthrough thing was pornography, right?
Yeah, she
that really put her on the map. So, no, I mean, nothing to exemplify, and we're definitely looking at going the wrong way. If you look at popular media, in most cases, I'm blown away. I'm like, right, dude, really? But more importantly, I just wanted to ask you guys, and hopefully as I listen and we go through this process, it'll really help me identify and then come to grips with, like, but yeah, I definitely want to know scripturally, as far as God's word, the inerrant word of God, you know, what does the Lord say it is my responsibility to exemplify in my community if I am a believer in him?
Man.
I love you guys. I got to go.
Love you too, bro. All right.
All right.
So when it comes to art, and we explored this whole topic on Static Radio, and everybody hated it. but when it comes to art, art is very subjective.
Yeah.
And so, I guess, because I was just thinking, it's like, yeah, but if you're telling somebody it's between them and God, doesn't that sound like a cop-out? Doesn't right. that sound like you're just throwing out vague instruction for somebody, when clearly there are things in the Bible that say, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, you should do this, you shouldn't cause a brother to stumble, or a sister to stumble? And I think that's where the whole question is, because from an actor's point of view, from Shane's point of view, which I'm not an actor, so right. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm not coming at it from that. The most I've ever done is be an extra in Independence Day 2. Which was awesome.
But you're right about the scripture, because as you say, you know, as much as it depends upon you, live at peace with one another. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in Romans 12, we're instructed not to cause, you know, the quote-unquote weaker Christian
right.
to stumble. And this art exhibit caused Roman Catholics to phone in bomb threats to the art exhibit.
Which is another freaking problem.
Right.
Why on earth are the Christians wanting to bomb people and
right.
kill? It's like,
right.
oh, you don't believe in Jesus, you're about to meet him.
Right. Right.
Not the way to go.
So this is the thing, because these people believe, like, hey, man, we're hoping and praying that this showcases this divide, and yet, man, instantaneously, Christians were furious.
So let's explore it from a different angle.
Totally.
Okay. This is my bad example that I thought of right now.
Okay, cool.
another edition of Mateo's bad example that he thought of right now.
Which, by the way, phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. This is your hour. We want to get your thoughts, your comments. I know normally Theology Thursday is hang out and listen to Beenix rap for an hour about this point, but mm-hmm. we
He's
really want to open
rapper.
It up. He really is.
You know,
yeah,
like,
dude.
East
He's
Coast
a word
stylist.
Smith. Yeah, I love it.
Pretty interesting.
505-338-3700. We've also posted the story, facebook.com/star88FM.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Bear with me, friends.
Dude, I'm bearing with you.
So, it comes down to the it's between you and God. And it's like, okay, well, but how am I supposed to relate to that? Because I believe that this is causing people to stumble, obviously, and they should get rid of it, because that's clearly what the Bible says. Okay, let's take a different job, if you will.
Okay.
Some Christians believe that as Christians, we are inherently supposed to be pacifists.
Mm.
You go back to the early days of Christianity, and you see people being martyred because they took a stand for what they believed in. They were put in the Colosseums, and they didn't fight back.
Yeah.
They were eaten by lions. Yeah. They were crucified. They were burned.
Yeah.
All of this stuff. And they took what Jesus said when he said, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword, seriously.
Yeah.
And I realize there's a later verse where Jesus says, take up your sword.
Right.
You know, and there's all kinds of stuff. And it just, you know, whatever. But anyway, so nowadays we have many different Christian threads throughout Christianity that are still pacifist.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have Christians that enter into the army, let's take our military. When you have Christians that, you know, go into the army or the Navy or the Marines or whatever, Green Berets, I don't know. I mean, it makes those Christians stumble.
Yeah.
But would you go and would you say, you can't be in the army because you just made someone stumble? No. Nobody's saying that. But that's the same thing as this.
Right.
You know, they're doing something to explore our fascination as a culture with beauty. And again, another side note, I don't think these people are Christians at all. So it's not like, it's like one person posted on our Facebook. It's like, we can't hold them to our standard because clearly they're not professing to be Christians.
Right.
So there's that.
Right.
But just aside from it, that's why I say it's between you and the Lord. Because just as much as somebody could be an actor
mm-hmm.
and play a role, and that not reflect who they are and not reflect what they truly believe, it would be the same way as somebody, and that caused somebody to stumble. It would be the same thing as you have like a pacifist, and then you have somebody that's like, no, just war, bro, just war, which, you know, I don't know where we fall, and I don't know where you fall or whatever, but it would be causing that person to stumble.
Right.
So that's why I'm like, that's between you and God.
Yeah.
Because, like, I have a very close friend, my buddy Jamie. He just moved home to go be in the army. And that made me, it bummed me out hardcore.
Right.
But that's truly what he felt like he was called to do. Now, did I go into some theological tizzy trying to get him to stay? Maybe.
No,
no, I didn't. But that's kind of, do you think those are similar, or is that just way off base?
No. I hear what you're saying, because that's exactly it. We have to take a look at, I think this is the purpose of the show this morning, is to talk about this very thing. Because on the same hand, we got a phone call this morning from Robert, who said, dude, I would not, this was his quote, I would not let my kids play with this doll.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. But
it's not for sale.
If it can be used to bring people to Jesus, then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
He also then went on to say, bro, I just want you guys to know. First, I love when he calls, because he always starts with, I've been transformed by the blood of Jesus.
That's
this
like
is
his
Robert.
Tagline.
It's like his tag, and it's always fun to talk to him.
That's his intro.
You can tell, dude, he is super amped to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Like, he is saved by grace, and he just couldn't be happier, and he's shouting it from the rooftops. Well, after he said this about the doll, he then said, I just want you guys to know, I love your show, and I love Star 88, what you guys are doing, and I listen to you at work, and a coworker of mine who's also a Christian, they got into a conversation about Star 88 because he loves Star 88 in the morning show, and this Christian coworker friend can't stand it because they're a K-Love person. Now, if we're talking about art and sacred and secular, this is a Christian who won't listen to the Christian radio station because it's too amped up. We're too loosey goosey. We're too whatever. So we're not their cup of tea, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very similar as well, because we're talking about Christians with different opinions, if you will, about a morning show.
Right.
Oh man, well, these guys are irreverent, and they say things like crap, and you know, and this and that, and these words that you just obviously you can't say. So they're drawing that line for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we're talking about this divide between the sacred and the secular, if you will, can we really say, like, no, bro, this is the line? Because then inevitably somebody's going to be like, no, dude, if it's not Crowder's version of How He Loves, it's like, yeah, but it was written by John Mark McMillan. Yeah, but that guy sounds like a horse, you know? So you're like, okay, well, I just can't talk to you anymore.
Mr. Ed.
But this is true. You know what I mean? Like, we divide over the dumbest things as
now,
it is.
And let's take it to a different direction, okay? Let's not use the military as an example, because I'm not trying to offend everybody, and I'm not saying that the military is bad. Not saying that. I was just using that as an example. Let's take another job. Let's say you work at a Monsanto.
Okay.
Let's say you work at Monsanto, which is like a I don't know, they're involved with agriculture.
Right.
But Monsanto is this huge corporation, and this is going to, like, people get off, like, Illuminati trail stuff with Monsanto.
Yeah.
But they're one of the most controlling corporations in our country. They have people in our government, for real, like, placed, and I'm not getting into all of that. But what they essentially do is they choke out the local farmer in favor of big business. Now, that has a lot of inherent evil.
Yeah.
But am I going to go and tell somebody that works at Monsanto that they are making me stumble and they need to quit their job? When they're supporting their family with their job? I mean, that's like a completely different thing than like trying to support your family with, by selling drugs or something like that, which is illegal, because this is an entirely legal thing. And that's when we get to art. Art is entirely subjective. You know what I'm saying? Different people are going to interpret it in different ways. So that's a similar thing to me. It's like we have things that could potentially make us stumble all around us.
Yeah.
But then it all comes back, and we used to talk about this on Static a lot, to me making a choice. Am I going to allow that to let me stumble? Which is an entirely different discussion.
Dude, and see, there's so many different ways
to
go about
this. Angles, bro. It's like we're in geometry class.
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Before we deviate too far, I want to bring it back to the topic this morning, talking about the line between art and blasphemy, if you will, the sacred and the secular. Virgin Barbie and Crucifixion Ken are infuriating Roman Catholics in Argentina right now. An art exhibit going on display in Buenos Aires this Saturday. We posted the article at our Facebook page, facebook.com/star88fm. We have a lot of comments. I know I wanted to get to some of those real quick. And then I haven't an interview with Scott Derrickson that I'd love to read.
Oh, okay.
As we talk about the Christian in the world of cinema.
About his stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through some comments. Manuel says, it just shows how corrupt the world is and how soon the scooping up of all the real church is. Hashtag rapture, hashtag heaven, hashtag NWO, hashtag Barbie is not God.
Those are really their hashtags?
Petey says, and I know that G.I. Joe was the one who was crucified. Or the one who crucified.
Okay.
G.I. Joe. So Winston says, at least someone won't go blowing themselves up over it.
Wow. Okay.
Athelia put up a really funny picture of a lady saying, this too much. Laura says, I take it the people who are responsible for the display are not Christians. They have Ken and Barbie dressed up as pagan deities, too, so they obviously don't respect our Christ. And Lindsay says, we can't hold worldly people to our standard. Would I buy one? No, because to me it makes light of the pinnacle of my salvation. To someone who doesn't know God, it's just a way to make money and stir the pot. I wouldn't say I'm offended by it. Rather, it compels me to share Christ with our lost world. Now, again, everybody, they are not selling these Barbie and Ken dolls.
They're not.
This is an art display.
Yeah.
That's kind of our discussion today on this quasi-theology Thursday.
Right, right.
Is the line between blasphemy and art.
Absolutely. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Let's go out to line one. Theology Thursday, hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So my comment I have about this is that, because they say it's supposed to be art. And as long as it's kind of done like in a tasteful, kind of respectful way, I have no problem with it. But see, like, I mean, I know it's Barbie, but I think if this was like a new toy line, you know, coming to stores near you, then yeah, I'll have a major issue with it.
Yeah.
That's not right. So, to be honest, I think with people getting mad over this, I don't think there's a need, because I can see this as an educational point.
There you go.
Because there's more, you know, there's other religions involved, so, you know, you could go, okay, this is what Christians believe, this is why they believe it, this is what Hindus believe, you know, that sort of thing. So I don't think there's any way that this is disrespectful to me or my religion or anything like that, but as long as it's done in art and as long as it's done respectfully, I have no issue with it.
Because you have the option to either choose to even pay attention to it or be offended by it. Or what? You can interpret that. That's kind of what art is. It's totally like, it's up for interpretation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if this was on toys, you know, shelves at Toys R Us, then yeah, I have an issue with it.
Yeah, and I highly doubt they would get that off the ground.
Oh, heck no.
Trying to sell it in a toy. I don't think that would be possible.
There's no way.
I mean, you look at that minion that
said
that.
There's no way. But,
well, but you see all the controversy that happened with that little minion toy
that
said the F word or whatever. People were like, whoa!
Lost their minds. Rightly so. Right on, man. Thanks for your comments.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Later. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. He brings up a great point, the idea that, okay, obviously these aren't for commercial sale. It is an art exhibit. That being the case, all right, right on, thumbs up. But if this was going to be sold to children, then I'd have a major issue with it. But, I mean, is there a difference? Because if you're trying to make, you know, money off of something like a commercial childhood doll versus an art exhibit, I don't know that there should be a difference between that, right? It's still the same image. It's still the same thing. Now you're just making it available
just
to the public.
Produced.
Yeah. I don't know. 505-338-3700. It's 505-338-3700. It is Theology Thursday. Talking about the divide between the sacred and the secular, what got us talking about it is this Virgin Barbie and Crucifixion Ken. No, they're not going out for mass production. It is a art exhibit in Argentina. Got a lot of comments on Facebook. But as we talk about this, our friend Shane called in this morning. Local actor dude. Been in some
actor.
Different TV productions here in Albuquerque that have filmed, and it got me thinking because he was saying, you know, I don't know what to do, what I would do in a situation of, say, you know, Martin Scorsese calls me for the next big mobster film, but I gotta curse a lot and I gotta, you know, say these things that are contrary to my belief as a Christian. What would I do? And I immediately thought of Scott Derrickson. For those that don't know Scott Derrickson, I honestly don't know if I've... Well, I've seen, I think, one of his movies. Scott Derrickson is a director, screenwriter, producer, lives in L.A. He is most notably known as a horror film director.
Scary.
His filmography runs like this: Urban Legends, Final Cut, Hellraiser, Inferno. Exorcism of Emily Rose,
terrifying.
The Day the Earth Stood Still, which I mean, you know,
I didn't see that.
You did it?
No,
it's Keanu, bro.
Remake?
Sinister. Deliver Us from Evil, and most notably for us nerds, he is preparing to direct the 2016 film Doctor Strange.
Right. And he also, what was his role in The Conjuring? Because he, like, did he write it?
See, that's what I thought, too, but he had no involvement in The Conjuring.
What?
It was a completely different dude who was part of the Saw film. So The Conjuring, actually, no. Totally different.
Who told us he was part of The Conjuring?
I don't know. Maybe it's because of The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Ooh.
Honestly, because it's a very similar type story.
Yeah.
All that to say, I'm sure you haven't seen a lot of these films, regular listener, but Exorcism of Emily Rose was based upon a true account of a girl who was possessed by demons, and it followed this exorcism. And absolutely terrifying. Of all of his films, that's the only one on the list that I actually saw. And I remember going back to when I saw it back in 2005 because he had an interview with Christianity Today at the time. He was the co-writer, director of the then upcoming film Exorcism of Emily Rose. And his quote was, "Horror movies are an excellent way for a Christian filmmaker to address things of faith." Right. So the big question was, can a Christian make horror movies? And obviously Scott Derrickson, over the last decade, has done that very thing. He's a screenwriter. First and foremost, he says, he's a Christian. He's worked on, you know, the films that I mentioned earlier. But the story of The Exorcism of Emily Rose was based on the true story of a German woman who died during an exorcism in 1976. And the priest who tried to cast the demons out of her, spoiler alert, was charged with manslaughter. So the film is like part horror story, part courtroom drama, but he said the purpose of it was to get people talking about God. And so the big question is, why would a Christian get involved in horror films of all things? And here's what he said, quote, "In my opinion, the horror genre is a perfect genre for Christians to be involved with. I think the more compelling question is, why do so many Christians find it odd that a Christian would be working in this genre? To me, this genre deals more overtly with the supernatural than any other genre. It tackles the issue of good and evil more than any other genre. It distinguishes and articulates the essence of good and and evil better than any other genre. And my feeling is that a lot of Christians are weary of this genre simply because it's unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
The genre is not about making you feel good. It's about making you face your fears. And in my experience, that's something that a lot of Christians don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the horror genre is the genre of non-denial. It's about admitting that there's evil in the world. And so this Christian director has taken up films, and you wouldn't see this alongside like, hey, Fireproof, from the director of Courageous comes Sinister 2.
You I'll know tell you mean? Who's like, not going to watch it. Mateo.
Right.
Because I'm scared.
Exactly.
I'm not watching it.
But as we talk about the divide between sacred and secular, and oh man, well, obviously it's this. Obviously, any film with language or any film that, you know, has monsters in it or what, you know, and then you see this director who is blatantly making horror films and first and foremost saying, hey, man, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, he has a minor in theological studies. His emphasis was in communications, emphasis on film. But his mind, he minored in theological studies.
That
he earned his
major.
MA in film production from the USC School of Cinematic Arts. But, yeah, dude, he went to Biola, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Biola University.
I think that.
Got a BA in humanities, and that's where he got his minor in theological studies. So,
interesting.
Dude is a Christian.
What?
Dude is a believer making these horror films. So
scary
we talk
horror
about
films.
Virgin Barbie and Crucifixion Ken and these things, and the point of the show really is to raise questions and get you thinking, because we want to interact, because I'm not going to sit here and say I have the answer and think that everybody should make horror movies.
No.
Absolutely
or that anybody
not.
Should watch them.
Right.
Because I'm scared of it.
Phone lines are open.
Also scared of snakes.
338-3700, the phone number. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Thank you very much. So I had a friend that worked at the movie theater here in Rio Rancho, and we got to see movies all the time. It was awesome. And he's like, let's go see Deliver Us from Evil. I was like, nah. He's like, why not? I said, because if you watch it in the previews on the TV, it says Deliver Us from Evil. I said, because everything actually for the Deliver Us, it just says devil afterwards. I said, I'm not going to go watch something that has devil in it. And, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about this guy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my place. But I can't justify as a Christian going to see movies that are evil and satanic in my view, because it's just, it's just something I can't do.
Yeah. See, now, here's a question for you then. Have you ever read the Screwtape Letters?
I've never heard of them.
Okay, the Screwtape Letters is a book written by C.S. Lewis, and to some, they would say, man, C.S. Lewis, greatest Christian author of all time. He wrote a book from the perspective of a demon. And it was basically, you know, it was like the fiction version of The Strategy of Satan by Warren Wiersbe. You know, it was a compelling tale of this demon and the lengths they go to try and pull you away from Christ, to get you off track, to get you off focus. But I'll tell you right now, that's not a book I would read to my kids at bedtime, because it's terrifying. You know what I mean? But we're talking about the same author who wrote Narnia.
And New Christianity and The Great Divorce and all of those
books. Yeah, Surprised by Joy and some incredible Christian books.
Have you read the 25 Minutes in Hell or 23 Minutes in Hell?
No.
Yeah, that's pretty.
You read that? You won't go see a scary movie?
But I draw the line.
You know what? But the thing is, if you read it, that guy, Christ actually sent him into hell, and he saw all these things. Now, I couldn't read it to my wife, because then she's like, I need you to hold me.
I just don't feel like Christ would send somebody to hell.
And I hope he don't send me.
Well, no, you have to read it. It's he said God sent him there for the experience and to spread the word about what hell is and what it can actually do to you.
But that's what this movie director is doing.
I feel like that's what the
same thing
is for. Yeah.
That's exactly the same thing. That's what this guy's saying. He's shining light on the darker elements, saying, hey, this is real, and guess what? That means the good side's real, too.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess then I don't have to sit in a movie theater all tensed up.
There you go.
No. I'm not going.
I just sit at home in my bed and read a book.
No. Thanks for your comment, man.
Yeah, dude.
Phone lines are open, and now kind of jammed. We just got a one free line, so if you want to chime in, 338-3700. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Yo, good morning, guys.
Morning!
Hey, so, guy called before me brought up this really interesting point. How he said they would go see movies, but he won't go see. And I'm not using him specifically.
Right,
I'm
going to
say general as Christians, we do this. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I don't want to go see something that's satanic in nature. what was funny is we were, my wife and I had went to go see a movie at the new Icon Theaters or whatever on the east side of town.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we had accidentally, we were all confused walking around in there. We walked into, we were going to see Mission Impossible. We accidentally walked into Straight Outta Compton. And so we're sitting there for a minute, and I'm looking at our tickets, and the we see a bunch of like teenagers from our church walk in, and they sit down, and one of them comes up to me, he's like, "Oh, what's up, man? I'm so excited to see this movie." I'm like, "Oh, I'm so excited to see Mission Impossible." I don't get, they're like pumped and wearing, you know, they're just excited, and so I'm like, "Yeah, I've been wanting to see this movie," and finally I just step out and I look at the thing, and I'm like, "Holy moly, this!" I told my wife, I was like, "Straight out of Compton." She's like, "Oh, let's go." But so the point that I'm getting at is we won't go see horror movies, but we'll go see that kind of movie. But yet we like, view these other movies as satanic in nature. Right. When I didn't see Straight Outta Compton, but the reviews that I read said that, you know, it was horrible as far as nudity, language. Obviously, we're talking about Dr. Dre and those guys. So, yeah, that's kind of a given. But, you know, I think we do that a lot as believers. And now, I'm not disagreeing. We don't do the horror movie thing in our house either for the same reason.
I see what you're saying.
Putting fear in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
we draw a line at scary, but then when it comes to, like, other issues that actually affect us way more,
right,
we're totally like, sure, man, it's a great movie.
Which is funny because in my house it was opposite. I saw, like, we were joking about this. My super sweet little Baptist mama I saw Aliens at the movie theater. I saw Terminator 2 at the movie theater as a kid.
Right.
But I wasn't allowed to see A Fish Called Wanda, the comedy, because there was a sex scene in it.
Yeah.
And sex, obviously, was disgusting and vile. Mm. And so anything sensual in nature was obviously not allowed in the Christian household, but Nightmare on Elm Street 3, bro. Yeah, DreamWorks.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was like,
exactly.
Wait, what? So you're, I mean, this is exactly it. What is our responsibility?
Great
as Christians?
Thought. Yeah,
incredible thought. So,
thank
you so much.
Later.
All right, man. Phone lines are jammed, dude. Gonna try and get some open. Oh, no. Did they totally just freeze?
It's always
up on
easiest
us?
To write off something we don't deal with.
Right. Oh, dude, that's a really good thought right there.
It's true. That applies to everything in the spectrum of Christianity.
Yeah.
Everything.
No, it's true.
It's always easiest to write off something that we don't deal with.
I just broke the phones. I'm sorry.
Why would you break the phones?
I know.
I have written you off because I'm not dealing with that.
Dude, that's good. Illustrate the point, man.
But the thing is, and it's funny to me because there is, now listen, I'm not going to go rent The Conjuring.
No.
Because here's the deal. Old Mateo's alone with Beans and Panda, and they can't help me if a ghost tries to kill me.
Years ago, there was a member in your band, Waverly, who shall remain nameless, who was like, you know a movie we should watch?
What?
When you guys were in Albuquerque,
who
and staying
it?
At the Jeter House.
Was it Dave?
Who?
It was Dave.
You mean the bassist in Audio Adrenaline?
Yes.
No!
It was Dave, wasn't it? He wanted to watch... Wait, was it Insidious?
Yes.
That was the last scary movie
Same
I watched.
Same here!
Because it scared the crap out of
Same
me.
Same here!
That scene where he's sitting at the thing and then that...
Yes!
Darth Maul is hanging out behind him.
Terrifying!
And it's not cool lightsaber welding
and,
Darth Maul.
No.
It's I live up in the corner of
there
your room,
no
Darth Maul.
There was no duel of fates. It was just straight evil.
Yeah.
I hated every second
there
of
was
it.
No duel. My fate was to not sleep that night. I lost that duel.
Yeah, it was. It
Thanks,
was,
Dave.
Said, oh man,
Dave Bama.
I'm not into that. Which is funny because as a kid, I ate them up.
Yep,
I loved it. But now, and maybe that's why. As we are talking about this, Scott Derrickson directed a number of major motion pictures, and 99.9% of them are horror films. Mm-hmm. For that reason, because that's what he wants to tackle, so that people will talk about the supernatural.
Yeah.
So people will talk about good and evil. This Christian theologian graduate of Biola University making some scary horror movies. Not to say that that's a cool thing or not a cool thing.
And again, I will not watch them.
No, I won't. Yeah.
I don't care what the pitch
I will
is.
See Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching.
Yeah.
That's different.
505-338-3700, the phone number. I think I fixed it. Let's go to line two. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hi.
Hi.
So I have a couple of thoughts. So I feel like some of this is very gray area. Like, we kind of want to make it black, and we want to make it white, and we want to be able to define some of these things. But, I mean, there's obviously a spiritual realm out there, so we have to be aware of the fact that, you know, there's demonic presence and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mom, so I'm very cautious of what we're introducing into our home, and that even goes for my husband and I. We don't watch movies that would introduce the spirit of fear, because you have to consider what is making you feel fearful.
Yeah.
It is a spirit of fear, and so I think just to be aware of the fact that there is, you know, there is a spiritual realm. We have to be conscious of that. We have to be, you know, aware of that, but we can't dwell on it. And I think I'm reading this book, Redeemed, and one of the things that it talks about is we worship our way into sin, and we can worship our way out of sin. So by focusing our gaze on something that is not, you know, holy and mm-hmm. pure and true and noble like the scripture discusses, we could potentially put ourselves in a place where we're compromising our spirituality a little bit. So I think that's just something to be aware of. I'm not saying, you know, if people choose to go and watch horror movies and stuff, just be aware that you are, I don't know, I think you're entertaining something.
And then also on the flip side question, why, if I'm saved by the blood of Jesus and I am, you know, nothing can separate me from him for all eternity, mm-hmm. why am I afraid of a demon?
And you shouldn't be.
Right.
And nobody should be. But I do think that, like, okay,
we're not trying
well,
to,
well, we
no,
may
no,
know in
know.
Our logical yeah. mind that we have no reason to
yeah.
be afraid of a
right.
demon. And I know that in my logical mind. But when I watched those movies way in the past, because it's been a really long time since I've seen them, I was afraid. Those
yeah.
things scare me.
Yes,
and
you
so
should
I have
be.
To know, I should be. And I don't
right.
watch them anymore. It's probably been like, probably 10 years since I've seen a scary movie.
Right.
I tried to watch Donnie Darko like 4 years ago.
That is not even a scary movie. That's just
no,
odd.
That's a weird movie.
That's just a weird one.
It scared me so much we turned it off.
Okay.
And so, like, I just think anything that scares you, like, well,
just
first
stay
of
away
all,
from
you do need to face your fears. But if it's obviously demonic, like, that's a little, I think it's a little bit in between. There's also this book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, for anybody listening that's interested, that kind of talks about, Johanna Michelson is the name of the author. It talks about her history and witchcraft and some things like that, and just about her transformation into, you know, understanding the blood of Christ and her spirituality. And the kind of people who have had this history in witchcraft and demonic kind of, like, dealings, they turn their lives around and they stay as far away from it as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just important to be aware. There's not a demon hiding around every corner. You know, not just to be like, oh, this, there's always something out to get me, and, you know, I stubbed my toe, so that, you know, must be the devil or something like that. That's not the case, but it's important not to completely wrap your mind, like, into all of these things that are away from the focus of Christ, because I think that's a danger. Like, the spiritual realm is very interesting, and so if you start to dwell too much on, you know, who the enemy is and be constantly focusing on that, then you're taking your focus away from Jesus and his
totally.
Salvation and his yeah. grace.
Dude. And I think, too, and I agree with you, here's the deal. New perspective in my life. I would probably not watch these at all
right.
because we have a kid in the house.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just don't want, because at some point in every person's life, your innocence that you are grown, that you hopefully grow up in is broken.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to happen to Jay Danger because I was watching Insidious and
right.
he saw something.
Right.
You
right.
know, that's
right.
totally true. And from a parental perspective, I completely,
mm-hmm.
completely identify with that. It's weird that I'm saying from a parental perspective. I get
welcome
that.
Welcome to the crew.
Totally get
yeah,
that.
Man.
But
yeah.
I will say this. Hollywood has a great way of playing up an equality between good and evil, between God and the devil. And
yeah.
in a lot of people's minds, somehow, unconsciously, we have accepted that the devil is equal in power to God, just on the opposite side of the spectrum.
Mm.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And so,
yeah.
so, my friend, I'm about to justify the exorcism of Emily Rose to you.
Right.
You ready for this? Now, don't be...
Did you
don't,
even see it?
Okay.
Okay, okay.
Let's talk about it.
No, I don't want
to
because I
let
saw
me
it
open
I couldn't
it up.
Sleep for a week.
Yeah. I saw the exorcism of Emily Rose
yeah.
in college, and it terrified me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had weird experiences that I'm not going to talk about on air. Right. I'm just going to like throw them out there and
not
make everybody
film,
wonder
but,
what happened.
Yeah, there
but
you go.
I've
I like
had
that.
Weird experiences
throughout your life,
with
not because
demonic
of this movie.
Presences, not because of that movie, but similar to what happened in that movie.
Right.
In my life, that has actually happened.
You've seen things.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay? And so that movie actually does a fantastic job of showing that good will not be conquered by evil.
Right.
And that good will win in the end, and yes. that evil is lesser.
And not just good versus evil, quote unquote.
No,
it was truly
God.
The power of Jesus
yeah.
Christ. I mean,
and,
they
and I understand
up,
it goes into a whole Catholic thing.
Oh,
that,
man, yeah.
You know, a lot of evangelicals are like, hey! But the thing is, it really does show that God is. He is more powerful than the devil, and he's
right.
not going to get mastered by evil, and that
yeah.
in the end, it's God's way.
And that you are not given to a spirit
right.
of fear, that we shouldn't be afraid of these things because the power of Christ
yeah.
compels you.
And seriously, this
yeah.
is coming from a guy who was
true story.
Terrified.
Dude, I'll never watch the movie again. I saw it
yeah.
I saw it because we got press stuff for it here a decade ago, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh yeah, it's a Christian film. And I'm like, I'm not sleeping for a week!
I'm a Christian who can't sleep!
Yeah, so,
yeah.
Oh man, thank you so much for
yeah,
chiming in
Colin.
On the conversation.
Absolutely.
All right.
Later.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Not going to lie, it's been fantastic having this conversation because the phone lines have been jammed this
I
whole
know.
Hour.
I know. It's nice hearing from you guys
yeah,
rather than
thank you so much.
Steven.
Everyone
no, contributes. Steven would love this discussion.
Ah!
I wish he was here.
Welcome to Theology Thursday. Hello.
Hey, guys. I'm back.
Hey there, Yay! Hurricane Shane.
So I was looking at this, like, and just taking it from the, you know, we've been talking about a theatrical example, like, mostly, you know, film, cinema. And I'm just saying, you know, something ugly on the screen that's presented, it is an illusion meant to create, to instill an idea in the person. Here's the tricky part for me is I know the intent of my heart, and I can only speak to my intent, the intent of my action. So if I was to take a role in a film, I would hope that if you watched me murder somebody on screen in a film as a mob guy or as any other character create, you know, this horrific act for everybody to see on film, that this is the tricky part, that if when I watch something like that for myself in the audience, I think, wow, man, you know, you see this guy go to prison and in the electric chair and you see the effects through cinema, they're suggesting this had on this individual, not to glamorize, you know, like Goodfellas, for instance, a great mob movie that Scorsese, I believe, did direct. You see them do the Lufthansa heist, which has been in the news recently, and you see all these guys getting murdered in horrific ways for participating in this lifestyle soon after that, which is based on a true story, right? Mm-hmm. So what that does for me as a watcher is it encourages me not to participate in that lifestyle. In fact, you know, it steers me more toward, you know, my faith in Christ and what's good and making good choices and staying away from criminal elements and things of this nature. So for me, I think the question really becomes like, what's the heart behind it? Like, what is the heart that you take behind it? And I think the variable that in reality, whether the art is a Ken doll on a cross, what's the heart behind it? You know, what are they looking to contribute to society from that? But then ultimately we, the audience who interpret these works of art, whether they're in the cinema, whether they're a play, whether it's a poem, whether it's a great book or a read, whether it's a scary movie, how do we interpret what we're seeing and what do we walk away from that? You know, I think that that's the tricky part. For me, my hope and my wish would be that the reality is that you see something grisly, you see something scary, and then that promotes, you know, me, the individual, wanting to look for something that's wellness, like a relationship with Jesus Christ, like helping that person that you know, Oliver Twist, that poor kid that needs a place to live and you've got an extra bedroom. Be, you know, wow, I'm going to look into foster care in my community. How we interpret that, that's always going to be the variable, because you might have that kid that sees that mob thing and thinks, man, I don't have any money, and I want to participate in that, and that's the rub, right?
Yeah.
So for me, to participate in any of those things, I would say it becomes very important to question the intent behind the making of such a piece of art or such a, you know, regardless of the platform. Or,
Shane,
you didn't even
mean to, but you just like drove it forward because we got a comment from a listener that we wanted to read, and it absolutely like echoes what you just said. So,
all right, guys, that's all I have. Thanks so much for having this platform for me to be on, you know, for everybody to discuss. This is such a great topic today.
Right on, man. Thanks for calling in. Love you too, bro. Paul in Houston, good friend of ours. He is a filmmaker extraordinaire. This is what he had to say. He said, storytelling can be a mess, and everything we encounter has a message, whether it's toys or art or music, Goodfellas versus The Passion of the Christ. Oftentimes, telling an effective, impactful story causes the method of delivering the message to dance on the line of controversy. There's a difference between causing to stumble versus offending. Mm. What enrages one to act out in anger may move another to reflect on their own life and change it in a positive way. Matt's quote-unquote cop-out of that's between a person and God is closer to the crux of the matter. What is the heart of the artist? Mm-hmm. What is the heart of the audience? The heart of each individual will determine the delivery of the message and reception of that message. He said, I went to an art school in L.A. in the early 90s, so I saw some crazy stuff. But what was interesting was that no matter how blasphemous a piece was, I could find God, and if the opportunity wasn't forced, talk a little bit about it with people or the artist who were mostly secular. I may have been highly under the influence of Jeff Moore in the distance at the time, but many times the line of deciding what is right or wrong is also self-generated. The Bible is filled with examples of pagan situations being taken and used to show the glory of God. Starting right off the bat with Genesis, some people weren't happy about that method of evangelism. Listen to your heart and the Holy Spirit and don't participate in what you have a check about. Mm-hmm. We have a bigger problem with self-stumbling, in his opinion. He could go on, but that's his two cents.
And then he said Donnie Darko is awesome.
Now, which brought up, you know, as we're talking about this, which, by the way, if you're just joining Theology Thursday, welcome. Been talking about the divide between the sacred and the secular in art. This weekend, there is an art exhibit going on display in Argentina entitled Barbie, the Plastic Religion, where artists took Barbie and Ken dolls and created different deities of world religions, two of which being the Virgin Mary and a Ken doll crucified on the cross, the Jesus Christ Ken doll. And no, they're not going up for sale.
It's
an art exhibit. But as we talk about a Christian getting involved in the arts, here's an interesting one. Somebody earlier called in and talked about Deliver Us From Evil, right? Mm-hmm. This crazy horror movie that came out, last year?
And thinking about it, that's the one we got the stuff for. I was mixing it up with The Conjuring. It was Deliver Us From Evil,
which looked terrifying. Eric Bana, he plays a New York City cop in the police department. It's a true story about this cop who worked in the South Bronx, where he began investigating these cases of paranormal activity and demonic possession. This dude was a Catholic. He made over 300 arrests, won 7 medals.
Whoa.
He's retired from the NYPD now, also assisting in over 20 exorcisms. So this director, Scott Derrickson, who, a believer, as we said earlier, went to Biola, you know, theological studies, is a horror movie specific director. Now, in an interview this last year with Christianity Today, they talked about this project, and as we talk about the heart behind it and the purpose behind certain things, they said, given your film's title, this was the question asked, and what's involved in exorcism within the Catholic Church, it's inevitable that prayer is significant in this film, in which Jesus is both a curse on the lips and a power to silence the cursed. Mm. How does communication with the other side play into the drama of this police officer's life in the film? And this was the quote from the director, Scott Derrickson. He said, quote, it's the whole movie. The second major motive for me in making this movie is I want to tell stories about the larger mysteries of life. We live in much more than just a material world that we can see and measure. The real Ralph Starchi is a salty-tongued cop, and he talks the same way in the movie. This was a movie that, as you said, we got press stuff for here at the radio station, and there is profanity in this film.
Yeah.
This is a Christian director, profanity.
Whoa!
He said, yet there's specific language of the ritual prayers in the movie, too. The language of prayer that Mendoza, a character in the film, uses is significant as well. Mendoza being the exorcist priest, by the way. Mm-hmm. He said, much of the movie is about the sacredness of language and the power of words. Christians believe that in the beginning was the Word, and that God spoke the world into existence. So there's something about the power of language in this movie that plays in a significant way.
Whoa.
It's no accident that in the film's climatic scene that the demon speaks Spanish in order to attack the exorcist priest Mendoza personally. So the language of the film, all of it, from the expletives to the rite of exorcism, is definitely significant. So his heart behind it was truly to showcase the power of words. Wow. Now, some would say, no. You can't say the F word in a movie and say, you know, it's the power of words. But then others would applaud him and go, yeah, bro, that's it right there, man. Like, that's the crux of filmmaking. So all that to say, it was a fun conversation.
Oh, look at you tying it up neatly with a bow.
I mean, we're out of time. It is almost 10 a.m.
Thank you guys for calling in and for commenting on Facebook. Great comments.
Phone lines were jammed that whole hour. I apologize for the moment that they went down. That was a bummer. Because
that was this guy.
Yeah, that was my fault. I hit the wrong thing. So, but we got calls the whole hour. That was a lot of fun. Theology Thursday. Next week, maybe, just maybe, we'll have Brian Nixon, Jarrett Petro, or Stephen Christian on the show. But guess what? We don't care because that was a fun hour.
Ayo! It's true.
Tomorrow, First World Friday, have a lot of fun ahead of us. Going to be giving away some CDs. We got tons of tickets for Winter Jam.
We do.
Lots of goods, my friend. Until then, that's it for us. It's Steve-O and Tao in the AM.
Goodbye.
Thursday is intended to be an informational, Bible-based discussion on issues and questions that listeners present. Hosts, pastors, and guests attempt to provide reliable, accurate information. If you have additional questions or concerns, please contact the pastoral staff at Calvary Albuquerque.